Marcus Sahaba Online Radio.
Empowering the Ummah.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are tuned in to Markaz Sahaba Online, and it's a beautiful, beautiful Tuesday morning. The name of the program is The Bliss of Marriage. Any questions you have or any family issues you need advice, send us a message on 084-786-3132. 084-786-3132. I'm your host, Yusuf Ali. But more importantly, answering the questions is the Honorable and esteemed Mufti A.K. Hussein. Mufti Saab, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum, Brother Yusuf Ali. Jazakallahu khairan. We make dua to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, that Almighty Allah grants our Mawlana Arafat Hatia and all those brothers, sisters who are ill throughout the world, Almighty Allah grant them Shifa-e Kamil and complete cure.
I mean, shukran for that, Mufti Saab. Mufti Saab, the question waiting for us this morning. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. Is it obligatory to tell a suitor that the woman was previously divorced in a marriage that was not consummated?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, it is compulsory for that lady that she must disclose that she was married before, even though the marriage was not consummated. Remember when that lady got married and she spent one night, five nights, 1 month with that husband there, and we call that khalwa. Khalwa means she went into privacy with that person there. So although the marriage was not consummated, yet iddat will be compulsory upon her. And when the husband divorced her, so then her iddat will be 3 menses, thalathat quru, according to the Hanafi and Hanbali scholars, and according to the Shafi'is and Malikis, it will be 3 periods of cleanliness. So that will be obligatory upon her. That it does not mean because the marriage was not consummated, then she will just say, no, she was never married before. Obviously, that's a blatant lie and incorrect and factually incorrect as well. So therefore, that will be haram for her. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man ghashana falaysa minna. The person who deceives us is not of us. That is authentic hadith mentioned in Sahih Muslim.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question, assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. Is Dhul Qa'dah a good month to get married?
Alhamdulillah, when one studies the noble Quran, you find that in Surah 9, Surah Tawbah, verse 36, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala mentions that minha arba'atun hurum, from the 12 lunar months, remember that 4 are sacred months. So which are the 4 sacred and the holy months? Are the months Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that it is Dhul Qa'dah, Zul Hijjah, Muharram, and the month of Rajab. So 3 months are consecutive and the month of Rajab. So yes, it's excellent that a person gets married during this month of Zul Qa'dah, as it is one of the sacred and holy months. And similarly, when we study the seerah of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam perform 3 of the 4 umrahs of his life, Mubarak, during this month of Zul Qa'dah. So from there also one can draw that it is, remember, a great month to do extra ibadat and extra worship. So to get married also is an act of ibadat and act of worship. So yes, we will encourage people, do not procrastinate and delay, rather get married as soon as possible. Now in the month of Zul Qa'dah is very good.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question that comes through. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. Can a boy and girl make nikah now and have the walima when the lockdown ends?
When will the lockdown end? Allah alone knows. So when you say you want to perform the nikah now, we want to know, will you stay separate or will you stay together? If you are going to meet and you are going to stay together and you say that you are going to have the walima after 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, when the lockdown ends, Allah alone knows when that will happen. So that will not be walima then. That will just be an ordinary da'wat and invitation. And if you are going to stay, that you will stay by your parents' place, he will stay by his parents' place, and when the lockdown finishes, then you will start living as husband-wife together. And before that, you did not meet, there was no khalwa, no privacy, nothing. And thereafter, 2 months, 3 months, or whenever, so then you start living together, and then you meet in privacy and so forth. And thereafter, one night you met, and then the next day you have walima, that will be permissible, but I would not advise that, because once you are married, then you should start meeting one another. Almighty Allah has made it permissible, and the lockdown, you know, we don't know when all this will end, so therefore to procrastinate and delay, that would not be desirable, advisable. Once you are married, and maybe 1 month, 2 months you need, now you know, to readjust your house, your flat, or whatever. So in that case, there in the interim, you should start meeting, and you can live as husband and wife, and thereafter, immediately, you have the walima. Walima is you call 5, 10, 20 people. Nowadays, you know that you can't call more than 50 also. So you have a small little function, and that is walima. You don't have to go and invite 500 people and so forth, and just for name and fame. So remember that rather do it simple, and Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged the ummah, everything to do with nikah. Inna a'adaman nikahi baraka aysarhu ma'una. The hadith in Mishkat Sharif, that the best of nikah is the one where the least expenditure is incurred. So today people want to have lavish functions costing hundreds of thousands and millions sometimes. So all this just for name and fame. So therefore that is unacceptable and not permissible in Islam.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question, Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. What are the sunnahs of the wedding night?
Yes, you must remember that today is the nikah, for example. So I performed the nikah, for example, and now the boy and girl are married, husband and wife. So from then already we start with the sunnah. So the men will meet the boy, the groom, and we will say, Barakallahu lak, wa barakallahu alaik, wa jama'a baynakuma fil khair, that Allah Ta'ala grant you barakah, blessing from all directions, and Almighty Allah keep you, the husband and wife, in khair and goodness forever. And the women should meet the bride, and mashallah, they will read the same dua. Barakallahu lak, wa barakallahu alaik, wa jama'a baynakuma fil khair. Likewise, you must remember a sunnah, which nowadays is becoming prevalent in our masajid and mosque and so forth, and that is nushra. Nushra means that you take dates, and you give that out to the people after the nikah is performed. Like normally people, they give out some type of chocolate, or they give out some type of sweets or whatever you. So remember, all that is permissible, but the sunnah that when we study Mustad Ahmad and various compilations, is dates should be given. So that is a sunnah as well. And now when the husband and wife are alone, and normally that will happen at night time, so now before Zohar, after Asr, the nikah was performed, for example, and then at night when husband and wife are alone. So these are the sunnahs for Laylatul Zifaf. Laylatul Zifaf means the wedding night when husband and wife are alone. So these are the sunnahs they should try and practice on. Number one, they should perform salat together. The husband will give the iqama, Imama, he will be the Imam, the wife will stand directly behind him, not on the side, directly behind him. And then they will read Salat in congregation in Jama'ah. The hadith is mentioned in Musannaf ibn Abi Shayba, and this is to say, Ya Allah, we are starting a new life. Till yesterday, till just few hours ago, we were single, and now we are married, and we want that help and direction, orientation from you, Ya Allah. Your mercy must envelope us. And as Muslims, we believe one of the best ways to obtain and attain the help and mercy of Allah is Salat. Wasta'inu bisabri wa salat. So you perform that Salat, that is Sunnah. Husband in front, wife at the back. Any surah you can read, any short surahs, you don't have to read long, long surahs. Thereafter, O husband, you give a gift to your wife. When we performed your nikah, then you said 16,000 rand, 17,000 rand, whatever it is, so plus minus, you must remember $1,000, and that was the mahar e Fatimi. So that was the mahar, the marital gift, and that was given to the lady or her wakil, that is her representative, while the nikah was being performed. This is something else, that when you are alone with your wife on Laylatul Zifaf, then you give her another gift. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha malk. So anything you can give money, you can give jewelry, clothing, you want to give some milk, juice, whatever. So all that would be a sunnah as well. So remember, revive this type of sunnah. And the hadith is in Musnad Ahmad about the milk. And third one will be that you know that you are still virtual strangers to one another. So therefore, you must try and meet up with one another. So how will that happen? You, the husband, you will take water. And you know, not cold water and not boiling water, like lukewarm water. And then you sprinkle on the wife's forehead, her forelocks and so forth. And read the following dua mentioned in Musannaf Abdul Razak. Allahumma inni as'aluka khayraha wa khayra ma fiha wa a'udhu bika min sharriha wa sharri ma fiha. Oh Almighty Allah Jalla wala, that I beg of you, whatever great good quality she has, let her share it. Whatever weaknesses she has, Ya Allah, protect her and protect me. Similarly, the wife will then sprinkle the water on the husband's forehead, and she will make the same dua. If you do not know the Arabic, in any language is fine. And in that way there, that, you know, our people, what they say? That they say, Bautiku magachche, that this person has got a very short fuse. He'll shout the wife, and the wife will shout him, and so forth. So already there'll be a lot of conflict and tension. So to cool everything down from the wedding night, you pour this water, sprinkle this water, and inshallah, that will become like a radiator, you know, to cool both parties down, and inshallah, then they will be on unity. Once there's unity of thought, both of them on the same page, then inshallah, they will go forward for many, many years with the help and mercy of Allah. Then husband, wife, before you sleep and so forth, and you know, meet and conjugal rights and what have you, and become intimate, learn this dua. And this is not only for wedding night. Always, husband, wife, when you want to fulfill one another's rights and become intimate, the hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Bismillah. Anything we do that's permissible, we remember Almighty Allah. Before we eat, before we drink, before we sleep, yeah, before husband, wife are intimate, Bismillah. In the name of Almighty Allah, Jannibna Shaitan. Ya Allah, put the Shaitan far, far away from us. We don't want him to be partner with us here. Wa Jannibi Shaitan Ma Zaktana. Ya Allah, put other children that will come from this union, and protect the children also from the Shaitan. Put him far, far away from what you are going to bless us, the Olad and the children and offspring. Hadith in Bukhari Sharif. One more time. Bismillah. Jannibna wa jannibi shaitan ma zaktana. Today people, majority of them Muslim, non-Muslim, they complain, you must remember of their children, so disobedient, so disrespectful, so many issues. So all this happens, why? Because when we were meeting husband wife, we never read this type of du'as. If we we read this type of du'as and supplications, Almighty Allah will surely grant us and bless us with such children that are the coolness of the eyes. And obviously, husband and wife should be reading Surah 25, verse 74 on a daily basis. Surah 25, verse 74 in the 19th Juz, 19th Supara, first quarter. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. Oh, beloved Allah, grant us such spouses and such children that are the coolness of our eyes. So in that way there, you will have a smooth marriage, inshallah.
Ameen, shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question comes through Mufti Saab, I think directly at Mufti Saab. Salaam alaikum, Mufti Saab. What do you think about the second nikah?
So you must remember that Quran Sharif will always give us guidelines and the Hadith will always give us guidelines and so forth. So remember, nobody in as a Muslim can say that to get married a second time, third time, fourth time is not permissible. It's permissible, but is it permissible carte blanche or are there conditions attached? So let us see what Quran Sharif states. Remember Quran Sharif Surah 4, Chapter 4, Surah Nisa, verse number 3 says, فَانْكِهُ مَا طَابَ لَكُم مِّنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَاعَ. So you can have 2, 3, 4 wives. But Quran says immediately after that, Surah 4, Chapter 4, verse 3, فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا. But if you fear, you cannot do justice. فَوَاحِدَى, then one wife only. So old is gold. So why must you go and complicate your life when you know you can't do justice? Let us be honest about it. Any country today you go, we're Muslims. We're speaking of Muslims now primarily. So you put 100 Muslim husbands there and they got 2, 3, 4 wives. And you will see 70-80% are doing injustice. So 10-20% may be doing justice. So when we know that, so remember we should think about it. It's not just you have 2, 3, 4 wives for enjoyment and then you treat one badly, you treat one nicely and you know so forth. One is crying all the time. Tomorrow, this day of justice, we all will be accountable for our deeds in front of Almighty Allah. And see the hadith in Abu Dawood in Tirmidhi Sharif. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us. Man kanat lahu imratan, a person who has 2 wives. Wa mala ila ihdahuma, and now he's favoring one, either favoring the new one or the old one. So meaning that he's not treating them fairly and, you know, justly and so forth. There's blatant favoritism and so forth. Ja'a yawm al-qiyamah wa shiqquhu saqit. That person will come on to day of justice. His whole body will be bent one side, humiliated in front of humanity. So why do you need all these problems? So that is the second point. Third one. Let us study Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Sirah Mubarakah. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at one time had 9 wives. That is special for Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Khalisatan laka min dunil mu'mineen. For you, O Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Quran Kareem states, and not for the believers. So there were many laws, special only the unique feature of Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Master alayhi salatu salam between Asr and Maghrib normally, yatufu ala nisa'ihi, used to go to all the honorable wives, spend some time and so forth. But the inner love Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for Siddiqa, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, was much more compared to the wives, the other wives which Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had. So Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam set the precedent for humanity and posterity. Allahumma la tu'akhidhni fi ma la amliku bal tamlik. Ya Allah, I am treating all my honorable wives equally, but the love that is, which comes into the heart of a person, so that I have more for Siddiqa, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, compared to the other honorable wives. Do not take me to task for that. You see an easy analogy example. You have 4 or 5 children. Deep down in your heart, you have one pet child, one favorite child. So that is permissible in Islam because it's beyond your control. But to favor the child, blatant favoritism, that you give them more spending, you give them more attention, and you then, you know, neglect the others. So that is objectionable. So this was the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam just teaching the ummah, every person who's got 2, 3, 4 wives, you must try your level best to bring about justice. But there must be no blatant favoritism. But notwithstanding all that, still if there is more love for one over the other, so then that is beyond your control, and Almighty Allah will not take us to task for that. So imagine Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam setting the precedent for humanity and posterity. So therefore, for ordinary people like me, we just got one wife, we just manage with them. Where are we going to break ahead with 2, 3, 4 wives, you know? You see, today some people got 2, 3, 4 wives, they in ruku already, you must remember that. They already hunchback, you know? You ask them, bhai, what happened to you? They say, the 2 wives, 3 wives, 4 wives, they all finish me up, you know? So we want to walk straight, Brother Yusuf Ali. We don't want to be in ruku and sajda permanently, you know? So therefore, old is gold. That is my advice to everybody.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question that comes through, Assalamu alaikum. My parents keep fighting. I want them to get the divorce, but my mother won't leave my abusive father. How can I get her to leave him?
Remember, your aim should not be that to tell your mother to go and ask for a divorce and request a divorce. Obviously, you are grown up now, you're 20, 25, 30 maybe, and you have your own wife, you have your own children, and they are fighting for the past 40, 50, 60 years, Allah alone know. But you should be the one, the peacemaker. You should be the one to go to your father, and on a one-to-one basis, when he's in a good mood, and tell him that most of the time he's at fault, and therefore he is swearing your mummy or his wife, and he's telling her this and all that. So you should be the muslih, the reconciler, the person to bring about reconciliation. To make something, remember, that is difficult, and to break something is very easy. You see a house, you see a shop, a building, how long it takes you, that you have to build it, everything, and then you just go in one day, you can demolish it. So that is very easy. So in this case here, your mother has that taqwa, that piety. She knows the difficulty she went through for the past 10, 20, 40, 50 years. And she's now a mother, she's a grandmother, all that. So she is hanging in there, and she knows that Almighty Allah will reward her. But that does not mean that the husband, the father, must be abusive, and he must take undue advantage. So these are the points that you must bring to your father's attention, that remember, our Indian men and Muslim men, remember, this is across the board, most of them don't understand the meaning of Amir. Amir means you have added responsibilities. So our Muslim men, most of them understood Amir to be Amir. Amir means to be the dictator. That they do little, and remember, they just want to command and sit and do this and all that. And treat, you must remember, the wife badly sometimes. So all that is unacceptable. Mustafa rahmatulil alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sayyidul qawmi khadimuhum. The Sayyid, the leader, the Amir will be the khadim. He has to worry about everybody, everything. So he has to worry about the wife, he has to worry about the children, he has to worry about the grandchildren. So many issues he has to worry about. And remember, the barometer in Islam, we mentioned this on many occasions in the past, and that is, remember that people can say you're a good person and what a wonderful person, but if our wife and children say we are bad, then remember, by Almighty Allah and Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will be considered as a bad and terrible person. So that is the barometer. And if you want, you can substantiate it from Quran and the Sunnah. The Quran Sharif teaches us, Surah 4 verse وعاشروهن بالمعروف. Treat your wives with love, with equity, with justice. حبيبنا صلى الله عليه وسلم, our mother Siddiqa, Sayyida Aisha رضي الله عنها states, خيرك نبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, خيركم خيركم لأهليكم وأنا خيركم لأهلي. The best of you are the best of you to your wives and children. I, Mustafa, Habibuna, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, am the best to my wives and my children. So authentic hadith in Tirmidhi. So what does that teach us? Today we are sanctimonious. We have a double identity. In front of people, we try and show we are good, we are pious, we are jovial, and so forth. But when we in private with our wife, then Allah forbid, we are making zulam, oppressing her, abusive, sometimes assaulting her. All this is totally haram, remember that. So that is what you should be doing, O son, O daughter. Instead of going to break the home of your parents, I know you're getting frustrated and you are desperate, but rather my advice, the Quran's advice will be, وَالصُّلْحُ خَيْرٌ. Reconciliation is the best, but for reconciliation, both parties have to make adjustments and compromise, and in that way there you will save the home of your parents. That is the advice we will give you.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The clock just ticked over 11:30 a.m. Central African time. It's time for us to go for the markets. Don't forget to send us a message, 084-786-3132.
صوت أهل السنة والجماعة, صوت مركز الصحابة.
You are tuned in to Markaz Sahaba Online. The Bliss of the Marriage is the name of the program. Any questions you have, send us a message on 084-786-3132. Answering the questions is our Honorable Mufti A.K. Hussein. And Mufti Saab, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome back to the segment. And the question waiting for us is, Assalamu Alaikum. My neighbor wants to marry a Shia, and she tells us that we are not to judge what's in his heart, and he could be a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Yusuf Ali. Yes, you must remember that many parts of the world that people just marry anybody, and therefore this causes huge, huge problems after the nikah. Remember that marriage is for keeps, and what will be the binding factor? The binding factor will be that your belief structure is the same. Therefore, for us as Muslims to marry a non-Muslim is not permissible. Quran Kareem has mentioned this very, very clearly for the men. Surah 2, verse 2-1. وَلَا تَنْكِحُ الْمُشْرِكَاتِ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنُ. You can't marry a lady who is a non-Muslim until and unless she embraces Islam. So this is enshrined in the noble Quran. Likewise, for a lady, a Muslim lady, she cannot marry a non-Muslim male, irrespective of which faith and religion he belongs to. And this is clearly enshrined in Surah 60, verse number 10. لَا هُنَّ حِلُّ لَهُمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحِلُّونَ لَهُمْ. That will be that the women, Muslim women, are not allowed to get married to a non-Muslim male. So both ways, Almighty Allah has mentioned it. Now let us see about the Shias, that whether the male is a Shia or either the female is a Shia, is it permissible for a Muslim? Muslim means Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah to marry the Shia. It's totally haram, and you'll be living in sin, and your children will also be illegitimate as far as our fatwa and verdict goes. See, every Muslim has to believe in the Quran Sharif. And what the Shia say? The Shias in their most holy book, sacred book after the Quran, remember, is Usulul Kafi. And in their Kulaini, the author writes that the Quran Sharif has 17,000 verses, and that is mentioned clearly in their book. Whereas the Quran Sharif only has 6,236 verses. So from a problem starts from the Quran. Already that their idea of Quran is something else. When you ask them where is that Quran, they will tell you it's there in the cave by the 12th Imam. He's hiding in the cave for almost 1200 years now. Second one, you see Sahaba, the beloved students, companions of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whom Almighty Allah has guaranteed for them is Jannah and Paradise. Allah Jalla Wala is pleased with them. Radiallahu anhum waradu'an. And Almighty Allah is pleased with them. They are pleased with Almighty Allah. Wa kullu wa adallahu al-husna. For all of them, Almighty Allah has promised them Jannah. So in a case like that, what do we see? We see that Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is guaranteeing them Jannah and Paradise. But what do the Shia, la'anahumullah, say? They say the greatest Sahaba, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Sayyidina Aisha, Sayyidina Hafsa, Amira Muawiyah radiallahu anh, all of them, Allah forbid, are out of the fold of Islam, and they are non-Muslims, and they curse them. And we have all this from their books. It's not our books. So that is the second issue. Third issue, all these hadith that we quote from Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawood, Tirmidhi, Nasai, Ibn Majah, Mu'tam Malik, Mustad Ahmad, they reject all of it. The only time they will accept it is when it suits their agenda. So people rejecting the Quran, people rejecting the ahadith, people rejecting the beloved Sahaba radiallahu anh, then everything of Sharia is different. Our adhan is different, our kalima is different, our salat is different, our fasting is different, our everything, nikah is different. So you must remember Shias have what they call mut'a. I have the book which they gave me. So Khomeini la'anahullah writes in Tawdih, you can make muta prostitution for 1 hour. So I pose a question to them always. I say, you love to make muta with other people's daughters and sisters. What about your daughter, your sister? Are you prepared to give her to somebody for 1 hour? Then you see how the faces change, becomes technicolor. So you must remember that Shia Azam is a Trojan horse. The founder of Shia Azam is a Jew, Abdullah bin Sabah. And this is written in their own books, Rijalul Kashi. She has mentioned it. Everything I'm telling you from their books, not our books. So you must remember that. So it is a conspiracy against Islam and Muslims. So if a person is swearing your mother, father daily, will you get married to that person's daughter or sister? So our parents are non-entities compared to Sayyida Aisha, Sayyida Abu Bakr, Sayyida Umar, Sayyida Usman, and all of them, radiallahu anhum. So therefore, we must be very, very sure and firm and have a firm conviction. Shias are non-Muslim and have nothing to do with Islam. We say to them, lakum deenukum waliyadeen, for you is your religion and for us is our religion. And therefore, you must remember, for a Muslim anywhere in the world to marry the Shias, especially of today we're speaking about, when all their belief structure, everything is so evident. 50, 60, 100 years ago, they used to conceal everything. Now they have become bold and brazen, and they want to take over all the Arab capitals. You see, Syria is theirs, Iraq is theirs, Lebanon is theirs, and so many other countries they want to take over. Then eventually take over Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara. How the apartheid regime wants to take over Masjid al-Aqsa and Masjid Ibrahim Khalil. So Aqsa in Jerusalem and Masjid Ibrahim Khalil in Hebron. So this is the aim of these enemies of Islam and Muslim. So may Almighty Allah Jalla Wala destroy these enemies and protect us from the evil. It's absolutely haram for a person who belongs to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah to marry a Shia.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question that comes through is from a newly married couple. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. We are newly married. Is it true that we must start actions on a Wednesday?
Yes, you must remember that these type of questions also we receive. So tomorrow is Wednesday and it will be in South Africa the 9th of Zulqa'dah. And remember it will be the 1st of July as well. And if you want a reference of it, there's a great work on a hadith. It's called Al-Maqasidul Hasana. And there Allama Sakhawi Rahimahullah has mentioned what Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha mentions, that you know you want to get married, you want to go into a new home, you want to start a new venture, so you want to do something, so mashallah, do it on a Wednesday. And we find in our Salaf Esali, our pious predecessors, they used to practice on it. You know, if you go to Uzbekistan, so you will find that the Hanafi scholars, they were the great, great scholars of that time. So many of them are buried there. And the author of Hidayah, Hidayah is the famous work of jurisprudence, of maslas and fiqh and so forth of the Hanafis. And he, Allama Marghinani Rahimahullah, so they refused to bury him in one graveyard. That one graveyard, they said that only a person will be buried here if he was a great giant scholar. So he fulfilled that criteria. But the second criteria was your name must be Muhammad. So his name was not Muhammad. So therefore, they did not allow him to be buried in that graveyard there. So I'm trying to show you how many great scholars they were there at that time. So this Allama Marghinani, who authored and penned this work Hidayah, remember that when he used to start his dars, his lesson, his academic year, so he used to start also on a Wednesday. There is a hadith, but it's very, very weak. Ma min shay'in budi'a yawm al-arbi'a illa qaddamma. That when you start something on a Wednesday, then it will, in Urdu, they say, payay takmeel tak ponjayega, meaning that Almighty Allah let it reach its completion. In our life, we saw, you must remember the Grand Mufti of Pakistan, Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahimahullah, in Darulum Karachi, one of the old Darulums there. So nevertheless, and nowadays, one of the most famous institutions in Pakistan. So whenever the academic year used to start, then they used to start on a Wednesday. So when we used to study there, we used to find it very strange. We didn't notice afterwards, we learned it obviously. So that how come the madrasa, the Darulum starts on a Wednesday and then Thursday is class and then Friday is holiday. Most of the Darulum used to start on a Saturday. So you know, like how you start in South Africa on a Monday after the weekend. So thereafter we came to know, because he was following what the great, great scholars used to do there in Uzbekistan and so forth, the Hanafi scholars, and what Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha encouraged us to do. So therefore, you want to get married, you want to start your new home, you want to start your new business, and you start move in there on a Wednesday, you move in there on a Friday. So all that will be highly, highly encouraged and desirable. And you should read Surah Baqarah as well. Everybody is not happy that you got a new house, you got a new shop, you got a new car, or whatever else it is. So وَلَا تَشْتَتِيُهَا الْبَطَلَ. So the people who are your detractors, they are your enemies, so they have that evil eye. Inna al-ayna haqqun. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said a hadith in Mishkat Sharif. The evil eye is the truth. So when you read Surah Baqarah, I give you the whole hadith. Iqra Surah Al-Baqarah. Read Surah Baqarah chapter 2. The longest surah is the Noble Quran, 286 verses. Fa inna akhadaha baraka. Remember, by reading it, it will bring barakah and blessing. وَتَرْكَهَا hasra. And if you don't read it, it will become a means and a source of regret and remorse. وَلَا تَسْتَتِيُهَا الْبَطَلَ. And the evil forces cannot overpower it. So therefore, it is a means that our marriage will remain stable with the help and mercy of Allah. Our home we have moved into, Allah will bless the makan and the makin. The makan, the house. And the makin, the people who live there, mashallah. And our shop, everything, Allah will protect it. So therefore, we encourage that and say, yes, it's a desirable action to do.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question coming through. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. We move into a new place this weekend. My husband's brother gave azan in every room. What was the purpose of this?
Remember that to give azan in every room is not sunnah or anything, but it is permissible in this sense. When you give azan, then the shaitan and all that runs away. So what he tried to do is to tell you that fine, that he rendered the azan in every room so that the shaitanic activities will not become, you understand, rife and rampant there. So people do all this, but then when they move in, slowly, slowly, you see all the satanic activities, they read Quran, they read Surah Baqarah, they rendered the Adhan, but they will bring the biggest TV, then they will bring the biggest, you know, hi-fi, then they will bring the biggest all other shaitanic things there. So all the, so we bring the shaitan right in our home. So then you don't blame anybody else, you blame yourself. وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. Today sometimes, you know, that I go visit one person who was ill. I recently went. So I couldn't believe when I saw the TV in his house, you know, like a whole cinema it was, you know. So we just looked down and it was off, but he was ill. So anyway, you must remember that people today, they want to do the one side to protect from shaitan. But when you look at the gadgets that they will bring afterwards, so then they brought the shaitan themselves in the house. So you look at the biggest stereo and hi-fi and internet and what gadgets they will be. And you know 99% of the time it's used for all these haram activities. So how do we justify all these type of things there? So the makan and all that is good. But when we bring about the satanic activities, so we are removing the barakah and the blessings ourselves, and therefore you find that the family now leads a dysfunctional life. No one got peace, no one got change, no one got tranquility, serenity, nothing. Because we brought poison, but we expect shifa and cure. So it won't happen like that. So each one of us should realize that the more haram things we bring in our homes, then the less barakah blessing there will be.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question, it comes through. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. Where do we get halal chicken from, as we cannot trust anyone?
So alhamdulillah, if you are asking me, so mashallah, I was there last week Friday, and mashallah, there's a place there in Crosby, and the masjid's name is Masjid Farooq, you know, our Ismail by Karolia, Allah grant him Jannatul Firdaus, and there you will find a Maulana, Maulana Harun Ibrahim, so he's one of the senior members of that masjid there, Brother Muhammad Bulbulia. So for years and years now, so I just, you know, he sends me a message every Monday, and he says that this is what's available. So whatever we require, so mashallah, Thursdays he comes and deliver. So you just look halal and tayyibah, Maulana Harun Ibrahim, and mashallah, that everything is perfect how we want it. And in that way there, you are what you eat. So remember, in today's world, we need to be very honest on these issues here. That today you will find so many halal stickers and logos and what have you, and we know that for years I'm saying this, that these halal logos and so forth are not worth the paper on which they are written. That most of the time, you must remember, is just money making gimmick and so forth and so on. Secondly, whenever they are caught, then they will tell you, no, it's a mistake. Allah forbid, we got the evidence by us, that you must remember on pork, you must remember halal certificate is there, halal logo is there, Allah forbid, Allah forbid. Or you will find Jesus' name is there, and you find halal logo there, Allah forbid. Or you find, you must remember something totally haram, and on that also halal logo is there. So who is there really to monitor all this? They'll tell you no mistake. They will tell you no, the company apologized. They will tell you. But we are posing the question, how many times has this happened? And how many Muslims ate that haram already? So we should be thinking. So whenever people ask me these questions, I give them three things. Number one, that kulu mimma razaqakumullahu halalan tayyiba. Quran Kareem did not tell us that only consume that is halal. Nay, Quran said halalan tayyiba. It must be halal, lawful, permissible, and tayyib, totally pure, totally wholesome. There must be absolutely no doubt in it. And then when we consume that, then we will be inspired, motivated to do good deeds. And today you see our youngsters and so forth, that they just love eating outside and so forth, and the children, the daughters also. So they get married, no, let's go eat here, let's eat here, because that's how the parents brought them up. So remember, then you are now, you don't like to do good actions, you become lethargic and lazy, and the vices that become so easy to practice on. So first law, Quran taught us halal and tayyiba. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us the ummah, and the hadith is mentioned in Tirmidhi, authentic hadith. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed Sibtu Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his beloved grandson, and that is Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu ta'ala, and da'a ma yuribuka ila ma la yuribuk. Leave that, remember, which puts you into doubt, and opt for that in which there is no doubt. So then, remember, we will understand what we should be doing. So anything there is doubt, foodstuff, liquid, whatever, so stay away from it, finish. And third law, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed Wabisa radiallahu anhu. Wabisa is a sahabi, and remember he asked Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mal birru wa mal ithmu ya Rasulullah. What is piety and what is a sin? So piety, taqwa Allah, that you inculcate taqwa. And that is, we have the love and the fear for Almighty Allah at all times, all places, all circumstances. Wa husnul khuluq, and good character. We don't cause harm to people, rather we become an asset to humanity. And mal ismu ya Rasulullah. What is a sin? So Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ma haqa fi sadrik. That which works on your conscience, that which will agitate your mind, it works on your conscience and your mind. وَكَرِهْتَ أَيَّتَّلِ عَلَيْهِ النَّاسِ. And you dislike the masses, the public, to come to know about it. Then Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on and told him, for Wabisa radiallahu anhu, استفتي قلبك, استفتي نفسك. Ask your own heart, ask your own conscience, ask your own iman. وَإِنْ أَفْتَاكَ النَّاسِ. Although the muftis, the ulama, the maulanas, the sheikhs, they gave fatwa, is permissible. But you must ask, apne zamir ko poocho, ask your own inner conscience. That is what the true Muslim must be doing. So therefore, those of you who want the halal, yeah, in our region, Gauteng, mashallah, halal and tayyiba is there, excellent. I can vouch for Maulana Harun Ibrahim. You just see halal and tayyiba, and mashallah, you speak to him and he will tell you where he delivers, when he delivers. I know, yeah, for us, Thursday they come and deliver, yeah, mashallah, and we very, very happy and satisfied with that, with Allah Ta'ala's help. Allah Ta'ala reward Maulana Harun, mashallah.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question, it comes through. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. A girl is gone back to her family's home and is claiming she's not married because her marriage was not documented. Is this permissible?
What do they mean that the marriage was not documented? Does she mean that they don't have nikah certificate? Or do they mean that the marriage was not performed in the proper manner or what have you? Let me give you 2-3 examples. I'm speaking about from, I even know the people. So one person took a lady and to the hotel, and he told that lady, you know what, that you know you're the adult, I'm an adult, what we need witnesses for and so forth. I'm marrying you and you accept me? She said yes. And she said she'll marry him and he said yes. So that is 100% zina, fornication, adultery, and totally haram and not permissible. Because you must have 2 male witnesses and you must have the consent of the girl's father. So that is the basic minimum requirement. So it depends what you mean by documentation. Second one, everything was done properly, and remember that is the husband, the wife, and the father's permission, these witnesses, and the nikah was performed, and then things started turning, you know, sour. So now the girl say yes, but I don't have any certificate, any documentation, or the husband say I don't have, so therefore the nikah is not valid. That's totally incorrect. 50, 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, when people got married, where they had all this certificate and all these type of things. Thus, we are just doing for the legal procedure. Now a person passes away and somebody then wants to contest the will and say that how could this lady inherit 12.5% or 25%, or how could this husband inherit 25% or 50%. So we have the documentation, we have the nikah certificate and so forth and so on. So the nikah's validity is not dependent on this type of documentation. That is just for the legal networking and legal papers, documents, you know. So you want to travel overseas sometimes, so you want to go for Hajj, you want to go for Umrah, and your surnames are different. So remember, you have your nikah certificate, so then no problem. You will get your Hajj visa or Umrah visa. So we must know what is really meant, and people should not be looking for all this type of, you know, feeble excuses and say that no, they're not married when they are married. And these type of things normally happen when a marriage is going through a sour patch, you know. So the relationship has become sour. Now they're looking for excuses to walk out of the marriage. They bring about all these feeble excuses.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. Another question coming in via SMS line. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. This question was asked to my sister-in-law. I am really interested in your religion. Do they consider people with dreadlocks? The husband is from Nigeria. The wife is from Pietermaritzburg. Last week, when the husband came to fetch a baby, he was wearing kurta and a hat. And he also wished me one day before Eid, saying that his country Eid was one day before theirs. I look after their baby, and he's also impressed with whatever the child learns from us and very keen to accept Islam. Please advise.
Yes, obviously you must teach them about Islam and tell them about Tawheed, about Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, about Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, all the articles of faith and so forth. And tell them that Islam is very strict regarding the dietary laws. There's no wine and no swine and so forth. And remember, we want the children to be brought up in a pure environment and all these type of things. However, three issues that are raised. Yes, that many countries had Eid before us. So we had Eid here in South Africa on a Monday, and most countries had on a Sunday. So that is not the problem. You must remember, every country looks at their own moon and so forth. So that is the easy explanation. Second one will be that regarding customs and traditions. So customs and traditions are acceptable to a certain point in Islam. But if they trample on the Sharia, then it's not permissible. For example, dreadlocks and all that. That would not be acceptable in Islam, because that will be imitating non-Muslim culture and so forth and so on. So Islam will give us leeway to a certain point, but not all the time. So we need to be clear on that issue. And third is, tell him all the virtues of embracing Islam. If he or she embraces Islam, then innal Islama yahdimu ma kana qabla, their sins of the past are forgiven, and Almighty Allah will then accept them, and inshallah they can become ambassadors of Islam. So yes, it's very good that it should be our aim in life that we become ambassadors of Islam and teach people the beauty of Islam. Our motto is Islam is the best, and we want to share it with the rest. So that is what we want to do, and educate the ummah. Jazakallah khairan to you, brother Yusuf Ali. Inshallah tomorrow also we'll continue. Allah grant our Moana Arafat, Hayatia, and all those people who are ill complete shifa and cure. Inshallah, my brother Tobela will prepare the podcast as well, and then we will send it out, inshallah. So 12 o'clock, there'll be news now with brother Yusuf Ali, and 12 to 1 thereafter, inshallah, will be with our brother Alphus Nkosi with the current affairs. 1 o'clock will be the Zohar Azan. 5 past 1, 2 past 1 will be, inshallah, Tafsir, and that will be Surah Rum, chapter number 30, verses 8 to 14, inshallah, today. And 1:30 to 2, we'll continue with Surah An'am, verse number 38, inshallah. And thereafter, 2 to 3, will be Sheikh Zakaria in the mercy of Allah. 3 to up past 3, that will be the repeat of this morning's program, the Q&A. And thereafter will be Brother Amin Templeton with the business news and views, till about 5:15. And thereafter, the Maghrib Adhan and the Surahs. And thereafter, Moana Khalid Yaqub, inshallah, from 5:45 to 6 o'clock till 7, 7 to 7:30, the tafsir, inshallah. And then 7:30 to 8 will be Maulana Yunus Patel, Rai Mullah's advices. 8 to 10, inshallah, Maulana Bilal Katrada with Tech Watch. So wonderful programs. Make dua for us and the Ummah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mufti AK Hussein answering all the questions. We'll be here tomorrow as well. Same place, same time. But for now, inshallah, we're heading over to